here we are in 2018. Today, 82 billionaires in the world own the same amount of wealth as the poorest half of the world's population. So inequality does not seem to be going away. Growth is not evening things up again. The richest countries in the world, the OECD countries, have wider gaps in inequality than they've had in the last 30 years. Here we are in 2018, on track for 3, 4, 5 degrees of climate change, pushing ourselves over the limits of this planet. Growth apparently does not clean up after itself. But here we are, still addicted to unending GDP growth. I think we need to change this story. And I'm inspired by Buckminster Fuller, the great American inventor from last century, who said, "You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. Sometimes the best form of protest is to propose something new."
There is no alternative.
There is no alternative.
There is no alternative.
No, no, no.
Hei, og velkommen til en ny episode av podcastserien Alternativ økonomi. Jeg heter Kjerstin Engedal, og jeg står bak denne serien sammen med Reidun Engedal. Dette er siste episode før sommerferien, og i dag skal vi til Amsterdam, for mange fikk kanskje med seg at Amsterdam har vedtatt å legge om til et nytt økonomisk system, der målet ikke skal være evig vekst, men å sikre alle innbyggerne i Amsterdam muligheten til å leve et godt liv innenfor jordens fysiske grenser, da. Det Amsterdam har tatt utgangspunkt i, det er en modell som kalles Donut Economics, eller smultring økonomi, som er utviklet av den britiske økonomen Kate Raworth, som vi hørte snakket her i starten. Raworth, hun ga ut en bok i 2017, som heter Donut Economics, 7 Ways to Think Like a 21st Century Economist, og der beskriver hun den modellen. Nå så er Raworth opptatt med å sette opp en organisasjon som skal sette dette her ut i livet, så hun hadde ikke tid til å komme i studio hos oss. Men her for en stund siden så hadde Reidun en prat med Ove Jakobsen, som er professor i økologisk økonomi ved Nord Universitet. Og de var blant annet innom denne smultringmodellen i sin samtale. Så her hører vi Jakobsen forklare kort hva den modellen går ut på.
Kan du fortelle, hva handler donutøkonomien om?
Den er en oppsummering av tanker som har vært lansert i veldig lang tid, nemlig at en fremtidig økonomi som skal skape livskvalitet blant mennesker, en livskraftig økonomi og en levende natur, den må ta hensyn til to ting. Den må for det første ta hensyn til økologiens grenser, og det andre er at man må tilfredsstille behov hos mennesker uten å komme i konflikt med naturens source and sink capacity, altså hvor mye ressurser kan vi ta ut av økosystemene, og hvor mye avfall kan vi føre tilbake uten at det oppstår ubalanse. Og det har illustrert i denne smultring-tankegangen med å si at økonomien må ligge i smultringen, hullet inni. Det er rommet for menneskelig behovstilfredsstillelse. Det har med både mat og hus og klær og sikkerhet og trygghet og alle disse tingene der. Og så kan man ikke bruke mer enn den ytterste sirkelen, som er grensen mot naturen. Og det blir jo veldig mange oppfattet som en veldig god illustrasjon, men det kan knapt sies å være noe nytt, for akkurat den typen problemer har vi jo vært borte i, som har oppdaget gjennom mine studier, i hvert fall fra midten av 1800-tallet og frem til i dag. Men i dag så er situasjonen veldig forskjellig. For nå er det nemlig sånn at vi er nødt til å gjøre noe. Tidligere så sa de at hvis vi ikke gjør noe, så vil vi ende opp i en situasjon der vi har, uoverskuelige problemer. Og der har vi havnet i dag. Og da er det veldig greit å ha en lang historie å se tilbake til. Og så er det også veldig greit å ha en sånn fremstilling som er veldig lett å forstå. Mm. Så med andre ord, den boka der er interessant.
Ja. Hvordan kan du si at det, kan du si litt mer om hvordan det bygger på tidligere teorier?
Ja, altså det første er jo at økonomien, det har vært en veldig stor diskusjon om økonomi er til for å skape vekst, økonomisk vekst, altså økt forbruk og økt produksjon, eller om økonomien er et middel for å skape det gode liv. Og når jeg bruker det ordet der, så er vi jo tilbake hos Aristoteles, så da er vi i hvert fall 2500 år tilbake i tid, der man sa at økonomisk aktivitet skal legge grunnlag for et godt liv i et godt samfunn. Og der har vi også en ting som man har glemt i dag, nemlig at det gode livet er i det gode samfunn. Altså, samfunnet har en egen eksistens, og vi dannes gjennom livet i samfunnet. Sånn at det er et samspill mellom individ og fellesskap. Og det har jo moderne økonomi i liten grad tatt inn over seg, der man snakker om markedet som en arena for konkurranse mellom autonome, som det heter, aktører, altså aktører som ikke har noe med hverandre å gjøre, noen koblinger. Men de aller fleste, faktisk alle vil jeg tro, skjønner jo at vi alle sammen er avhengige av hverandre. Det er ikke en floskel, men det er en realitet. Hva er det som skal skje innenfor økonomien? Jo, det første når vi tenker organisk er at vekst blir endret til utvikling. I stedet for kvantitativ vekst snakker man om kvalitativ utvikling. Og når man holder på med sånn samfunnsutvikling, lokalsamfunnsutvikling for eksempel, så vil de fleste mennesker si at det vi er interessert i, det er et samfunn som det er godt å leve i, og et samfunn det er godt å leve i har veldig mye med sosiale relasjoner å gjøre, og forholdet til natur og for så vidt. Det er veldig få som sier at hvis de skal være lykkelige, så må de ha 2-3 biler til, eller veldig mye større hus, eller veldig mye mer mat, eller veldig mye mer klær, eller flere TV-apparater i hvert rom. Altså, det er ingen som sier det. Så det å ha en økonomi som forutsetter at vi blir mer og mer tilfreds dess mer vi forbruker, den er håpløs. Rett og slett, for den stemmer ikke med virkeligheten.
Så som Ove Jakobsen sier her, så er ikke det først og fremst det at smultring, økonomien er noe revolusjonerende nytt som ingen har tenkt på før. Det at økonomien skal være et verktøy og ikke et mål, og at den må ta hensyn til verden rundt seg, det er jo noe mange har tenkt opp igjennom. Men det nye er kanskje først og fremst at Kate Raworth har samlet alt dette her i et rammeverk som er lett å forstå, og som bygger på faktorer som vi etter hvert kan måle ganske godt, eller i hvert fall bedre og bedre, sånn at det er mulig å få en viss oversikt over på hva områder vi holder oss inne i smultringen, og på hva områder vi faller inn i hullet i midten, eller går utenfor yttergrensene. Og det er akkurat dette her som Amsterdam har tatt tak i.
Het is een model wat gebaseerd is dat wij consumeren en steeds meer moeten consumeren om zeg maar die constante vast te houden. En haar model zegt nee, dat je hoeft niet.
Dette her er Marieke van Doornink, som er varaordfører i Amsterdam, og her snakker hun om at Amsterdam har valgt å ta utgangspunkt i smultringmodellen fordi han ikke krever stadig mer forbruk og mer produksjon sånn som dagens økonomi gjør. Van Doornink sier at målet vårt skal ikke være å vokse, men å blomstre. Og det høres jo veldig bra ut, men da blir jo spørsmålet hvordan dette skal skje i praksis. Så for å finne ut av det, så tok jeg en prat med Elektra Kolumpi, som jobber for en organisasjon som heter Circle Economy. Circle Economy, de rådgir bedrifter og politikere som vil legge om til en sirkulær økonomi. Altså en økonomi som ikke er basert på bruk og kast, men der vi i stedet lager ting på en sånn måte at de kan vare lenger og så gå tilbake igjen i produksjonskjeden når de ikke kan brukes lenger. Og Amsterdam har allerede jobbet i mange år med å legge om til en sirkulær økonomi, og det er jo de ikke alene om. For de nasjonale myndighetene i Nederland vil jo at hele Nederland skal bli en sirkulær økonomi, og EU har også et mål om det. EU-kommisjonen lanserte en ny strategi for sirkulær økonomi tidligere i vår, og til og med Norge har jo sagt at vi vil bli et foregangsland for sirkulær økonomi, selv om det kanskje ikke er så lett å se i praksis enn så lenge. Men det Amsterdam altså nå gjør er at de bygger sin sirkulære strategi på smultringmodellen til Kate Raworth. Så Elektra Kolumpi, hun har vært med på hele denne prosessen sammen med Kate Raworth og byrådet i Amsterdam, så jeg ba hun fortelle litt om hva det innebærer.
I am Elektra Kolumpi. I work for Circle Economy, an organization based in Amsterdam. We work supporting businesses and cities to implement a circular economy on the ground. We are working currently with Kate Raworth and the donut economic model, trying to downscale it to cities. This is called the Thriving Cities Initiative Program, and Amsterdam, Philadelphia, and Portland have been the three cities that we have been piloting together with.
As you say, Amsterdam has been already working for many years towards a circular economy, haven't they? But what is the difference between a circular economy and a donut?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, a circular economy, the term is really based on the principle of closing the loop of resources within a system. So that means that if we imagine that in a linear system, in a linear world, we extract resources from the earth, we transform them and process them and make them into products, that we use them for a period of time, and when we don't need them, then they become waste. In a circular economy, what we want to do is to close the loop that, so that the resources come back to the cycle, meaning we can close the loop by recycling resources, remanufacturing products, refurbishing whenever that's possible, or reusing. So there are different stages that you can close what we call the loop of resources. Circular economy, so the term is more often associated with the exact element of resources. The donut economy, well, the donut economic model that Kate Raworth has developed takes a little bit of a bigger picture. So what she does with her model, she's actually bringing together the conversation about a socially just society, but also combines it with the conversation about the climate change and the planet's carrying capacity. And she says, we need to try to meet the needs of all within the means of our planet. So she's putting a boundary into this idea of endless growth. And she says, we can't grow endlessly since there is already a limit, the limit of the Earth, the planetary boundaries, as they're called. The way I see it is that the donut economic model is a much more holistic model. It's a theoretical model that is trying to put this this goal, the humanity's 21st, let's say, century goal of how we can all thrive, but without killing our planet, and then brings this holistic view. And I think circular economy is more a means to an end, is a way through which we can arrive to this vision of having a safe and just space, of having a of creating a society that can thrive within the means of the planet. So I think the one serves the other. The donut provides the bigger holistic picture, and the circular economy is a way, is a functional, systemic, let's say, design that could lead us to this vision. So with the three cities, Amsterdam, Philadelphia, and Portland, we are also experimenting to create a standardized methodology of what it means to take the donut model, which is a conceptual global concept model, and downscale it into to city and make it as an actionable tool. So there are steps, and there are ways that this can work, and that's what we are piloting. And it starts with the city donut, what you also saw potentially published from the city of Amsterdam.
Og the city donut, som Elektra snakker om her, det er utgangspunktet for Amsterdam sin sirkulære strategi. Det er et slags selvportrett av dagens Amsterdam, som er laget av Amsterdam kommune sammen med Kate Raworth og Circle Economy, og det viser helt konkret hvor man må legge inn innsatsen for at Amsterdam skal bli et godt sted å leve. Og de har valgt å se på det spørsmålet gjennom fire linser, som de kaller det. Og de fire linsene er for det første det gode liv for folk i Amsterdam, og for det andre de økologiske grensene i Amsterdam, og for det tredje hvordan Amsterdam med sine valg kan bidra til gode liv for folk andre steder i verden, og til slutt hvordan Amsterdam kan bidra til god helse for hele planeten. Og hvis man bruker denne bysmultringen da som referanse, så ser man for eksempel at hvis Amsterdam skal bli et godt sted å leve, så må man gjøre noe med boligsituasjonen, for akkurat nå så er det veldig dyrt og vanskelig for mange å bo i Amsterdam. Og man må gjøre noe med det at mange sliter med ensomhet og mentale problemer, så det må tas hensyn til i en sånn smultringøkonomi. Og vi ser at Amsterdam sliter med luftforurensing, at de er sårbare for tørke og for hete bølger, så det må smultringøkonomien gjøre noe med. Og så prøver de også å finne ut hvor mye av verdens ressurser som Amsterdam kan forsyne seg av, uten at det går på bekostning av mennesker og natur andre steder i verden. Og dette selvportrettet, eller City Donutten, da, det er altså basisen for Amsterdams strategi for å bli sirkulær innen 2050. Og jeg kan legge til at de som er interessert, de kan finne alle disse dokumentene om Amsterdam i engelsk utgave på nettsiden vår, alternativøkonomi.no.
So the city, yeah, the city donut is actually the translation of the concept to city. It's trying to answer one very 21st century question for cities, which is like this: how can our city be a thriving place for thriving people while respecting the well-being of all people and the health of the whole planet? So it has four elements. It has the element of people here in the city and the natural habitat of the city here, as well as taking into account the global impacts that the city has on the planet and the well-being of and the livelihoods around the world. We have taken this as a starting point to create the city portrait. So the city portrait is, it has the four lenses: the local social, local ecological, global social, and global ecological. And through these four lenses shows the different states of the city right now. So this is the starting point. The city portrait is a starting point, and the process is to bring all different departments of the city and different change makers, organizations that have already been involved in change in the city, and bring them together around the table to create a strong network of change makers that they will start reflecting about the current state of the city, understand what are the drivers driving this, and then from there onwards design strategies that can transform deeply the state and become afterwards specific action plan. The city of Amsterdam, as I said, had was already an advanced city in terms of their on their vision and ambition. They want to become a fully circular city by 2050 and a carbon neutral city as well. So we have been working with the city already from 2015, helping them to create a thorough path and a strategy about becoming circular. And it was 1.5 years ago when we started a more profound conversation with them, thinking, how can we make sure that this circular economy that we want to establish in the city will be also a fully inclusive city and will not only benefit the ones who can afford it? And that is when we started like bringing in the donut economic model. The city was already working with three priority sectors: housing, construction, construction, food and biomass, and consumer goods. So what we did is we started using the donut framework to think about synergetic strategies, meaning having all the people in the room, so inviting people from health, from education, people from the planning department that are responsible for developments of housing, people from energy, people from waste, the economic board, all these different stakeholders were in the same room. And we started thinking, how can we create synergies? What kind of synergies and dynamics they exist between the different themes? And it was at this stage when working with the donut and the different social and environmental aspects that it was becoming more and more apparent that when the city wants to provide more housing for the growing demand so that they can also cover the needs of all the residents to have an affordable place, obviously they would have a big impact on climate because of the associated emissions that are that come together with new buildings and all the resources that are being used. So there needs to come a balance. There is when the city starts thinking about, we need to think about circular circular construction, circular materials, ways that we maximize the use of existing buildings so that we cover many of our needs without needing to build new. Thinking also about bio-based materials or materials that are having less of a carbon impact. And then comes the next question. Yes, but all these buildings, are they going to be affordable or are they going to be just high-end residences for people who can afford it? So then we start looking also on the social foundation, thinking, how can we make sure that this new constructions or this retrofit are benefiting also people from all different incomes? So then the strategy starts becoming more integrating elements about social housing. And then how can we think about health? How can we make sure that the indoor environment that we provide are also going to ensure a healthy environment for people living there? Well, we need to think about materials that are going to allow for good air quality in the house. That's another synergy. And what about gender equality? Is there any way we can include this thinking in our strategy? Well, there are interesting thoughts about how you can design houses and neighborhoods so that you can make sure that women who take care of children will be able to also share, let's say, common areas or have a playground next to the house. And at the same time, they are nearby their work. So there is a way to design neighborhoods so to accommodate those elements of design. Then they have a strategy that is focused on food, shortening the food value chain. That's an important strategy of Amsterdam, trying to minimize the transport of food products from faraway places and instead enhance the urban agriculture so that more food is being produced within the close boundaries, let's say the nearby areas of the city, the peri-urban and urban areas, which also has a lot of synergies. On the one hand, you can see the environmental benefits since we are drastically cutting the impact of emissions from transport of goods from faraway places. Then there is the immediate a benefit of circular agriculture because it gives you the opportunity to close the loop of nutrients since you can bring back the nutrients to the soil. Then there is the social benefit of raising awareness and bringing the food back to the city, creating again a link, an emotional link of people with the way food is being produced since they are now again exposed into methods of farming and into all the different kind of food products that can become available through urban gardening or urban agriculture. So it creates a whole new relationship of people with food. So this is the way that the donut economic model can lead into more practical examples. It always tries to create multiple benefits, both on social and on environmental aspects. It's this way of holistic thinking that it provides.
De tingene som Elektra snakker om her, det altså de tre hovedområdene der Amsterdam har bestemt seg for å legge inn mesteparten av innsatsen nå I første omgang, det bygningsmassen, matsystemet og materielt forbruk. Og Amsterdam kommune jo en stor aktør som kan gjøre mye selv, men hvis Amsterdam virkelig skal bli en smultringøkonomi, så må jo alle være med, både politikerne og næringslivet og organisasjoner og vanlige folk. Og det allerede veldig mange som opptatt av hva de selv kan gjøre for å bringe Amsterdam inn I smultringen. Da. Og for et par måneder siden så gikk noen av disse folkene sammen og lanserte det de kaller Amsterdam Donut Coalition, som en plattform for alle som interessert I å bidra til å innføre smultringøkonomien I Amsterdam. Så jeg tok en prat med en av de som står bak den koalisjonen. Han heter Rurd Priester og forsker ved Høgskolen I Amsterdam, og han involvert I en haug med grasrotinitiativ som har sosiale og bærekraftige formål, og han har også vært med I dette arbeidet med kommunen og med Kate Raworth. Og nå han altså en av lederne I denne koalisjonen av folk som vil bidra til smultringøkonomien.
Okay, so this sort of, I think this basically starts with the involvement of the, or the relation of Kate Raworth with the city of Amsterdam, which started in 2013, and then so when she published the book in 2017, and later in, when the translation was created, Dutch translation was published in early 2018. She did sort of a tour through the Netherlands in which she was sort of highly involved in lots of events in the city of Amsterdam. But essentially what happened is that after this period of early 2018, when Kate became really rather well known and popular in the Netherlands, after that sort of loads of separate initiatives started, were ignited. And many of those initiatives did not know of each other. So there was a donut D-Day, for instance. There was a connection to the Amsterdam University of Applied Science. People came up with the idea of donut deals. The collaboration with the municipality by Kate started. So at the end of 2019, some people of the Amsterdam Economic Board and Pakke Zwijger and myself sat together, and we sort of concluded, now it's really time to get together because there's so much things happening.
Og denne smultringkoalisjonen, den basert på det som kalles desentraliserte nettverk, som et veldig viktig prinsipp I Kate Raworth sin smultringmodell.
If you organize society basically from the bottom up, so you take the lowest possible level that you can think of, a household or often better a neighborhood, and see if you can organize things at that level, often systems become more strong. In a distributed situation where all these local sort of pockets are connected, organize at the lowest possible level, only start organizing at a higher level if needed, if not possible, at this lower level, then you end up with the strongest, most resilient systems. And that's actually what you see happening in the Netherlands. Of course, there's very important top-down decisions to be made in order to go through the energy transition and to fight climate change. And that's critical, that's crucial, and it's still going too slow. But if you, on the other hand, look at the enormous amount of bottom-up initiatives, then you would really immediately want to put a platform below all of these local initiatives and empower them and connect them. So basically this starts with people. So in my internet days, to put it like that, I learned this wonderful simple theory by Nielsen, which is, has many names, but often people relate to it as the 1-9-90 rule, which means that in relation to any area of interest, 1% of the people that are related to this area of interest are creators, 9% are followers, and the remaining 90% are lurkers. For me, this has become a very meaningful insight. So, because if you come across some area of interest, it's often quite easy to recognize the one percenters. And the best definition for me is that they don't wait for others before they act. It sounds like a silly definition, but it's very important, because many people like to talk about all sorts of subjects, but now this is all about change that is urgent. So we need not only people that talk well, but we need people that are very active and can make a difference and do stuff and change stuff and take others along. So essentially, not wait for others, but just do it. So the strategy of this coalition is quite simple, because what all these highly motivated people want is that we actually get into the donut, which sounds simple, but which is incredibly complex. It has never been done before. We are aware that so what we do not want to be is naive. We do not want to, because everybody's putting a lot of energy in it and time. So we want it to happen. We want to be. To get on track. So we're very serious about that. And if you're serious about it, you need not to be not naive and understand what sort of the basic conditions are that need to be in place in order to have some kind of realism about that this will actually happen. So you need to systemically understand these basic conditions. We need to identify these conditions. We need to totally understand them. And we need to ensure that they get in place. So that's what the coalition is about. Now, how does this connect to the average citizen in Amsterdam? First, in that if they like this approach, we have an open platform and they can join in the process. So what we will do is each half year we do an iteration. So we will share with all Amsterdam where we are on those conditions, and one of the conditions is the monitor. Can everybody in Amsterdam see where we are in relation to the donut? So do we have overshoots and shortfalls? How big are they? What are we doing to make them smaller? So how are we progressing in relation to the objectives that we know there are? Then there's one specific conditions, that's the first, that's the shared narrative. We need to progress, to evolve this wonderful story into a story that's basically every person in Amsterdam can be enthusiastic about. Which sounds like a really big dream, but actually it's not, because it is in essence a far simpler and stronger story than most political stories we currently have. Because everybody senses that something is going radically wrong by our overshoots. We know that. We experience that summers are getting hotter. So people sense, and researchers show that over 70% of people in the Netherlands are really concerned about climate crisis. And also on the social dimension, people understand the shortfalls in the Netherlands. We understand, we know that we have shortfalls in housing in Amsterdam. It's just becoming too expensive to live here for large groups of people. We know that if you, by the stuff that we consume, that is produced in countries far away, which leads to big shortfalls in terms of labor conditions in countries far away. So it's not that people are not aware, there's just not yet a story that sort of integrates these challenges we have into a positive alternative. a simple, positive new economical goal.
Is there a danger that the idea of the donut attracts or appeals to a certain kind of people, and maybe the people who are not the ones who need it the most?
Yeah, that's of course always a risk, but I tend to not look at that as a risk, because because I have experienced sometimes that if you follow this 1-9-90 rule, that you start where the energy is, and that if you keep going where the energy of the people is, those change agents, and you work well on your communications if you bring these change agents together who have loads of energy and they create successes, what is already happening, then my experience is that it's better to create sort of a magnet where people would like to, so that people become attracted by how fun it is, how successful it is, how basically nice it is. If you do not exclude, but do interesting stuff that is attractive by nature, then things will evolve. So focus on creating stuff together that people are happy about, and then others will join in. Simple as that.
Og den troen der, og troen på kraften I grasrotinitiativ, det noe Ruud Priester deler med økonomiprofessor Ove Jacobsen, som vi hørte fra I begynnelsen. Og Jacobsen, han drar linja fra disse mangfoldige grasrotinitiativene vi ser I dag, og tilbake til anarkistene fra 1800-tallet.
Det man velger I en sånn økologisk og økonomisk sammenheng veldig opptatt av, det en sånn bottom-up-initiativ. Og nå begynner vi å nærme oss lokalsamfunn. Altså folk, vi som står I situasjonen må få mer innflytelse på det som skjer. Og at vi ikke blir styrt av store globaliserte monsterbedrifter som har en makt som overskrider det mange land har faktisk. Eller at vi blir styrt ovenfra. Så det vil jo være en balanse her, og der synes jeg Jens Bjørnebo, det finnes masse interessant med han på YouTube. Han sier blant annet I en liten sak der han snakker om antroposofi og anarkisme, så sier han det at det ikke snakk om at det enten skal være anarkistisk eller marxistisk eller liberalistisk, men det en blanding av disse tingene. Og problemet I dag at det for lite anarkisme. Det for lite rom for frihet. Og det jo noe, den forrige boka jeg skrev var jo Anarchism and Ecological Economics, og der fant jeg jo ut at Kropotkin, Reclus og andre av de viktige anarkisterne på forrige århundre, eller 1800-tallet, slutten av 1800-tallet, de sier jo omtrent det samme som man sier økologisk økonomi I dag, desentraliserte nettverk, samarbeid, organisk virkelighetsforståelse, mer initiativ, bottom-up-initiativ, og mange av disse tingene.
I think we're only at the beginning, potentially, of an era in which this direction, this line of thinking, can lead to much more empowerment of much more people in the kind of initiatives we are talking about now. And I think there are probably these initiatives like the Donut Coalition are really babies. There, I mean, there are. Just born, and we're only. I hope, and I expect that we've only seen the beginning. It can also really be exciting. I mean, if the region of Amsterdam can live up to the sort of the promise that we see now, and become sort of a model, in a modest way, together with other cities that are finding out mechanisms like this too. Not on paper, but by doing it together from the bottom up. And you would envision that these cities and these initiatives and these regions would collaborate. That's a truly exciting idea. And you have to keep in mind that there's always more happening than you see. by definition, because they're top, they're bottom up, they're not seen. So when I changed my jobs, as I told you in the beginning, some over 5 years ago, the first thing I did was I did a research on online platforms for, public objectives in the city. So I've been looking at online neighborhood platforms, etc. We found out that there are already, was at that point, so that's over 5 years ago, there were 90 neighborhoods in Amsterdam alone that were self-organizing using online platforms. And that was even before apps like Next Door, etc. came out, and it became popular to use WhatsApp groups in neighborhoods. So even before that, we already in the city of Amsterdam have had 90 forms of online supported self-organization taking place in the city. So that's, if you think of that, it's quite amazing. I mean, the level of self-organization that implies, which nobody actually knows about. So think of liberating those energies of self-organization. I think it's clear that I'm very hopeful about international, at least EU collaboration. So there's a lot of interest. Cape Raworth is getting a lot of interest from other cities and countries currently. So I think everybody who hears this, do connect. I'm quite confident that over the coming year there will be a formation of a EU network and other networks in which Kate will be involved and in which we can collaborate and learn and go through this journey together.
And our plan is to start already piloting this work with more cities. Ideally, we hope that we will be able, let's say, to have a complete pilot journey in 1 year from now, so that we can replicate it to many more cities through the C40 network of cities, our third partner, so that this becomes this, let's say, this methodology, this innovative journey of how to apply the city donor to a city and create transformative strategies and actions. This journey will be by then complete, and we will be able to make it available for many more cities. At the same time, the world is very, very thirsty. Since the publication of the City Donut of Amsterdam, we have received an immense amount of enthusiasm and responses about from different places and cities and nations and organizations that want to take this and make it a reality where they are, and especially now with the COVID crisis, there has been all this conversation of how can we rebuild our economies, but on a more solid foundation? How can we create more resilient economies? And it seems that the donut model speaks a lot to people at this stage. I'm not sure how fast things might go. I really hope that it will accelerate by itself also. So our vision is to complete this, have a thorough thing to share with the world, and then make it accessible for everyone.
There is no alternative.
There is no alternative.
There is no alternative.
No, no, no.
I podcastserien Alternativ økonomi leter vi etter økonomiske løsninger som kan være med på å skape en bedre verden. Nye episoder publiseres en gang i måneden. Du finner mer informasjon på nettsiden vår alternativøkonomi.no.